And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This one goes out to the ones in need. This one goes out to the sinner and the cynical. This ain't about no apology. This
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us part of your Monday. What's going on over there, Ben?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, man, just recovering from a weekend of basketball.
You
just
watch a lot of NIT?
Just an onslaught of...
You've been eating the tape?
...of basketball. No, I did not watch any NIT.
You didn't even watch Utah?
No.
Oh. Well, they won.
They're
hosting another game.
Happy for them.
Yeah. And they're hosting, so they're going to win.
And they're playing Utah State's old guy, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Odom. And
so
Virginia Commonwealth.
The VCU Volunteer Cavalier Mountaineers.
The Shakas.
Shakas, yeah. That's what I said.
Because he made them famous, I suppose. Why are we starting talking about the NIT?
Right. Brother, it's the only team that's still dancing next to the Utah women. That's why we're talking about NIT basketball.
Okay.
Play the hits.
I'm in like third of our whole
bracket
challenge.
How am I doing?
Thing on, I think anyway. I don't know. I still can't read this thing. It's incredibly confusing.
Way to sell it.
But I have 98 total points. The leaders have 100, and then I'd be tied with somebody else at 90.
So you're right there.
Somehow.
Let's hope Tennessee keeps on cranking.
They made me sweat a little bit.
Leaders.
But they still made it happen. Auburn really killed me. Thanks a lot, Auburn. I should have known better than to bet on a Bruce Pearl team. Man, all these college coaches are just something else. It's so funny watching the tournament and watching all these lunatics who coach college basketball. But yeah, Ben, so I lost Final Four team, but I've still got North Carolina, Houston, and Tennessee, so I've still got 3 out of 4.
Look at you.
Have you lost a Final Four team yet?
I don't believe so.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm in good shape.
You've got UConn and Creighton. Who are your other two?
North Carolina and Houston.
Oh, yeah. You went heavy number one seeds.
Well, they're good. UConn is obviously going to win this thing.
Obviously?
I think the drama has gone out.
We're starting with.
Have you seen how good UConn is? They're up 44-18 at the half. I know it's only their first two games, but that's been every game this season. That's just how they play.
Didn't you watch Purdue just beat the pants off of Utah State?
Well, yeah, and Purdue is up and down. But Purdue is very good.
Duke hammered, James Madison?
Yes, they did.
There was a lot of one-sided games yesterday. The Saturday was filled with overtime games and all sorts of close ones. Yesterday, it felt like there were a lot of beatings.
It's been pretty feast or famine, right?
Yeah.
It's
either incredible.
Overtime or it's 40 at the half.
30-point drubbing.
Wow.
And the other team can only score 12 points. Yeah. But how are you doing in the tourney, Sarah? How many total points do you have? Don't shake your head.
I don't want to talk about it.
This is a radio show.
I lost one of my Final Four, so that can tell you something.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, Florida, really.
Losing in the round of 64.
I had Florida winning.
You had them in the Final Four.
Yeah,
I did.
Well, that's my bias. I didn't really think they'd make it there, but I hoped.
I had the Gators to the Elite Eight.
Good for you, tied for second.
How many total points, Sarah? We'll get to Ben because I think Ben's doing well too.
I think like 25.
No, you've
no,
got higher
25.
Than that. You're in the 80s, I'm sure.
So
there's two people, Chandler and Seabass. Shout out to Seabass. I don't know who that is, and I wonder if Chandler's our Chandler that we work with, who I do the podcast with, have 100. You're at 94?
98.
So you're right there in second. You're one game off.
I did have NC State to the Sweet 16.
It was a win. Now, remember, you also have to go back and pick the 16-team bracket. You kind of have to keep filling these out.
What do you mean?
This is not a bracket you just sit back and relax on. You can, but you go back and you update your picks to keep getting points.
You can do that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'm not going to, I don't want to harsh on our own contest, but that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's what a lot of teams, that's what a lot of things do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Ben, I've been filling out brackets since I was 10, and I've never participated in one like that.
Oh, well, welcome to the real world.
Sarah, have you ever done one like that?
No, but I don't normally participate in brackets.
In the 16-team bracket, which you can go to kslsports.com if you signed up, you'll see your full bracket. Then you click on the tab right next to it. It says 16-team. And then you can go and you can make your picks again.
Wow.
So.
All right.
Let's see. How many of my Elite Eight teams do I not have? I think I'm still doing okay. New Mexico. Why did I have New Mexico going so far? What? Oh, that's even a Sweet 16 team. I think all my Elite Eight teams are still alive.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you'll slingshot past me, I'm sure. Although, you know, like most of these things, if you don't pick the winner.
It's hard to win. Well, I did. I picked UConn. I already won.
So. Hard to win. But no, but that's the problem with picking the favorite, is half the other teams in the bracket picked UConn. So you'll still probably finish 30th, even if you do pick the winner.
We'll see. We'll see if Creighton gets there. Had a squeaked past Oregon. Double OT game.
Yikes.
That was a great game. Shout out to Oregon, man. They figure it out.
Well, listen, and here's where we'll ultimately start. Shout out to Utah State, ultimately, because they balled against TCU.
Yes, they did. They cooked them.
They got their first win in a long time in the NCAA tournament since, what was it, 90-something? 90? We'd have to go back and look.
Hey, we got some breaking news. Can I interrupt you real quick?
Oh, yeah.
From Jeff Goodman, breaking, Washington is hiring Utah State's Danny Sprinkle.
Right on.
Already came out.
Yeah, well, that happened a while ago.
Yeah, that's been in the books for a while.
I mean, not, you know, we're not breaking news here, but I think he may have basically taken that job a while ago.
What, January?
A while ago.
Christmas?
That's the least surprising breaking news in history. And you know what? Good for him. Whatever.
Good for him. Unfortunate for Utah State that they continue to be the springboard, but shout out to everyone who is continuing to make great hires up at Utah State.
Yeah, but that, you know what? That's, we can jump into this in the ultimate coaching landscape, but that means you're winning. Your coaches, I mean, would you rather have to fire a coach every 2 years because
you're
just a dog program? I mean, given the alternative, then you say so long there, coach. Much luck to you, and we'll do it again, because that's just life in a weird way. As any college program, by the way, not named in basketball, what, Kentucky, Duke,
yeah,
and Kansas,
right?
Then you're going to be a springboard in some way, shape, or form.
I'll be curious if what players follow him to Washington.
Well,
because
can,
I would suspect both BYU and Utah would be on the phone with some of these kids.
Can Osabor transfer again?
I don't know. He transferred from Montana State already, yeah, right? He followed Sprinkle.
So has he graduated?
He's only a junior, right?
Right, but if he's graduated, then he can go wherever
he wants.
He can go wherever he wants. But I don't know. If he hasn't graduated, he probably can cram a bunch of hours into the next semester. I'm taking 30 credits.
Fall Slev will be a very big name in the transfer portal if he hits it.
But Utah State, let's, you know, they beat TCU. They deserve a bunch of credit.
Absolutely.
I felt so bad for them and the way that they lost against Purdue. I made myself watch it, and I say make myself watch it because I was texting with a buddy, and I was like, this is so hard to watch.
What was
this,
like 22-20? So they kind of hung around for 10 minutes.
Hard to watch. And then Purdue poured it on them at the end of the first half, and then just...
And kept going.
I mean, at the beginning of the second half, they poured it on them, and it was... it had to be a really hard way for it to end for Utah State, because they are a better team than that. And shout out to Purdue. They're great, I guess. But, man, get pantsed on national TV is the worst.
Can I give you a hot take that people really aren't going to like because it's the narrative? The Zach Edey fouls had nothing to do with it.
Oh, you lose like that, you can't complain about refs. That's a rule.
Also,
like, I don't want to hear it.
Guys, like, there may have been a couple early, They hacked Zach Edey every time he touched
the ball. They should hack. Like, that's the only way you should play a guy like that. You should foul him
all of
the time.
And the problem is he shoots 75% from the free throw line.
Yeah, well.
Like he's extraordinarily skilled.
He'll shoot below 50 with a broken rib. I mean, I
sure.
like that's,
if you want to hurt him.
That's how you should play that
dive
guy.
Dive into his knees.
Okay, Kelly Olynyk. All right, Klinik. Go roll him up. That's not what I'm saying, but you got to play that guy like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? The refs, these referees are so terrible. Don't make me but they assume that he's going to get fouled, so they blow the whistle, which happens with bigs in college at all levels. I'm not just talking about that game. It's so annoying because they're so terrible that they just assume, well, the best way to stop this guy is by breaking his rib. So I'm going to blow the whistle, just assuming that it's going to happen.
I'm
going to
give you an even hotter take that people are really going to hate. He should probably go to the free throw line more than he does.
No, stop it.
He gets fouled on every single possession because he is 7'4". He is 300 pounds, and nobody can stop him. He is one of the most dominant basketball players we've seen in a very long time. He is a great college player.
I thought Osabor had a chance to put him in the blender because he can't move laterally.
And he beat him maybe twice off the dribble, which is a real credit to Zach
Edey.
And
that didn't happen.
He maybe beat him twice. One of them was a foul. he hooked him. But, yeah, they struggled. They had no answer for
regardless.
That.
Utah State shouldn't have lost that game like that. Never. They're a much better team than that.
It's sad
too
that
bad
that's the way
that
they went
that's out. How it ended
because they were better than that.
That was not a good representation. And the game that the most eyeballs saw Utah State play this year, they got humiliated. I mean, that if I would have changed the channel. I was so uncomfortable if I didn't feel somewhat obligated to watch it. I told my kids to turn away.
Daddy doesn't want you to see this.
Stop. We don't watch this. Go do something else.
This is from Matt Norlander, who is a writer for Sports Illustrated. He says, bit of a curveball. Toledo coach Todd Kowalczyk is expected to be firmly in the mix for Utah State's list to replace Danny Sprinkle. Kowalczyk has won the regular season in the MAC the past four seasons. So, might already be some names in the hopper to go over and take the job at Utah State.
This is going to be Sabo's first big hire, right?
Yes.
So kind of got to knock this one out of the park. No pressure. You had to see it coming.
Can I tell you why I like this Todd Kowalczyk, who I'm just hearing about for the first time?
Sure.
He's 57 years old.
Oh, I think they need an old guy for sure. Yeah, it's funny you say that.
Need the young guy
no,
who's
going to
get the next
gone.
Job. If he's going to win there and he's won at Toledo, which... You know, Toledo has been a fun basketball team to watch, actually, for a while. They do win games. And the MAC is kind of an interesting conference. Yeah, go get a 57-year-old who's going to double his salary at Utah State compared to what he makes at Toledo and stay there for 6 years.
You know the first name that came to my mind, which is he's unhirable. So it's not realistic. But
Juwan Howard.
No.
Oh.
Bob Huggins.
Yeah, you can't hire him.
No, you can't. No, he's too toxic. But, like, the old man that might be kind of damaged goods and has been the chaser of prominence in the past and kind of spit out the other end and is just looking to live that sweet mountain life in Logan and coach at a place that you can win. So, again, yeah, you can't hire Bob Huggins. I mean, that guy is a mess in so many different ways. But you know what I'm saying? I'm with you. Go with an older guy who's not climbing the ladder necessarily, but knows how to win. There's guys like Stu Morrill out there.
Of course. There are good coaches who know what they're doing, who probably either just sent their kids to college or their kids are graduates. They're not like going to be bouncing around a whole lot, but are okay settling somewhere.
Listen, Randy Reyes stayed at Weber forever. You know why? Because he was pretty sweet.
Pretty good.
He was loving it. Loving that East Ogden life, man.
Good for Randy Ray.
Living the dream. And now he's retired, I think.
Disappeared.
He made enough money coaching at a place he loved to coach, had a ton of success. I believe he bought a spot somewhere in South Carolina, like Hilton Head or something like that, and is just golfing.
Yep. Disappeared.
Like, you can find coaches that aren't psycho ambitious, and not that Danny Sprinkle is a psycho, but Danny has eyes set on bigger things.
Say it. Psycho Danny. Psycho Sprinkle.
I think Odom left for different reasons. We could talk to Scotty about this.
Well, we know why. He wanted to be on the East Coast.
Right.
He did not want to be in
his
the West.
Roots weren't here, which made it a weird hire to begin with.
It worked, but yeah.
But Craig didn't really have roots here either. and had success and took another job here locally. So, I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat, which, again, is such a weird saying. But here's the thing. I'm with you, Ben, because if there's one thing all these guys have proven, even going back to Stu, you can win at Utah State in basketball.
No
you
question.
Can win there. You can get players there. You have the support there. Now, they don't have many, and I heard this was an issue maybe with the last couple of coaches. They've got like one big donor.
Yeah.
Whereas Washington's got 30 big donors. And I have to, you know, when we're saying big donors, we mean like
seven-figure donors.
Like big donors.
Yeah, Washington does. And it's a basketball city.
Right.
Seattle.
You know, BYU's got a bunch of big donors. Utah's probably got fewer than BYU, but more than one truly big donor.
Let's you and I organize an NIL for Utah State. We'll call it the Cash Cow, but we're going to spell cash, C-A-C-H-E.
I don't see, but I don't think they need it, which actually makes it...
The Cash Cows.
Yeah.
You can be a part of the Cash Cows.
I mean, they need
you
it.
You and I get a cut of the NIL, obviously.
Well, yeah,
obviously.
We're carving 10 points off for us.
Yeah, right.
What are we doing here? I mean, what do you think? Kendrick Perkins is doing that thing for free?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't actually think they... You need NIL, obviously, but... It's not like Utah State has made hay getting the creme de la creme of NBA guys. That's not really where they've been successful. They've had a couple. Merrill and Keita. Is Nimi still in the league?
He is. He's in Boston.
So they've had a couple. I don't want to sell them short. But you go back to J.C. Carroll and Spencer Nelson and those teams. Those weren't NBA players necessarily. They get... skilled players that they can recruit there that might be damaged goods or overlooked or whatever for whatever reason. They support the crap out of them, and they win a lot of games. And they play at 20,000 feet, so every team they play is out of gas.
These guys are terrible in the second half.
It's 5 degrees outside.
Yeah.
It's a three-hour bus ride or whatever
yeah,
it is
to get there.
From the airport. It's actually kind of a swinging college campus,
it's a
believe
great
it
college
or not.
Town. Yeah. It's a very cool college town.
And you don't have to recruit. Here's the thing that why I think Utah State should lean into basketball and not football is you have to recruit 80 guys in football.
Yeah.
You have to recruit 15 dudes in basketball. And if you grow up playing basketball and really have a shot to play college, you're going to play in the middle of nowhere. That's the reality. I mean, football players get recruited. There's so many players on teams. You know, odds are you're going to be have a little bit more of a choice where you're going to play. But talk to like I bet you talk to like Thurl's kids, right? I bet they all grew up thinking like, well, I'll probably play at three different colleges, but odds are I'm going to play in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just reality. But in Logan, I think you can recruit 15 dudes. And coach him up. It's a good place to coach and live because, I mean, just ask Stu. He was the mayor of that darn town forever. Most popular, it doesn't buy a Diet Coke in town in Logan. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm with you. I'm glad you pointed that out. Go with an older, more established guy who's not really in the mood to go anywhere. I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to stay.
I'll be curious to see how this goes. Scotty, who's our... our Utah State insider.
Well, yeah, the voice of the Aggies.
Whoa. Don't burn his sources. Shut up. Come on. Don't get him in trouble. He says he thinks they're going to fill this job pretty quickly.
Oh, I'm sure. They've known it's coming forever.
Sources tell us. He said it on Twitter, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they somehow, could you imagine if Saba, what her first name is, excuse me, because I practiced her last name so much. I remember Diana?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Diana Sabo. Can you imagine if she came out in her press conference and was like, we were just blindsided.
We couldn't believe this.
We couldn't believe it.
This gab.
I was surprised everybody was so surprised when Urban Meyer left Utah. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was young in the business. You weren't quite in the business yet, Ben. But everybody you talked to just felt
everyone
so,
knew it was going, yeah.
So betrayed yeah. by Urban Meyer. Like, how dare he? I can't believe it. Like, even Spence Eccles, who donated all that money. You remember that?
Uncle Spence?
That Urban legend, Ben, that Urban had assured him he's not going anywhere if he just built a practice facility. And he did that and felt betrayed. I was there at the press conference. I watched in the background. Spence was talking angrily. Not angrily. That, I don't know if that man is capable of getting angry. But was having a serious conversation with Chris Hill I guess it was the press conference before the Fiesta Bowl. Anyway, point being.
Yeah. He felt blindsided.
Everybody was blindsided. And it was like, what are you talking about? We tracked Notre Dame's plane at the airport. Right. What do you mean you're blindsided?
Right.
Maybe the worst kept secret in local coaching news recently, Danny Sprinkle going to Washington. I think Scotty came in at Christmas and was like, hey, guys, I got some news for you.
Yeah.
Hey, happy holidays, first of all.
Danny's in Washington.
He's moved.
Danny's wearing Seattle gear everywhere.
I saw the U-Haul.
But good for him. He had a hell of a year and is one of the great stories of the season. Made college basketball really fun locally. And again, we still have a couple of teams playing, one in the NIT and the Utah women's basketball team. Had a nice win over the weekend and back at it.
Andrew says there are new transfer rules anymore. They can transfer without having to graduate. I don't think so. I think you get one freebie. It's just one freebie. Did they ditch transfer rules overall? I don't think so.
I didn't think so either, because you have run into that before with football players.
Are we really behind on the times? I think there's only one freebie. That was the...
Until you graduate.
Until you graduate, and then you can go wherever.
I agree with you.
And listen, you supplement... with enough online classes, and you can graduate in, like, I think one semester.
Multi-time football transfers will be eligible immediately in 2024.
Well, now that was the lawsuit, right? Because Utah and BYU got one of those guys, multi-time transfers. So maybe you're right, Andrew, actually come to think of it.
Oh, it says the injunction has allowed multi-time transfers currently at their new schools to begin competing immediately in winter sports.
That's right. So it was an injunction. It was the middle of this season.
That's why Davon Smith was able to play, right?
Yeah. So you're right, Andrew. Corrections and retractions. Thank you for your input.
And then you know what's going to be really hard about this conversation for some of these guys? And look, I have no idea what type of guy Danny Sprinkle is, other than everyone I've talked to who knows him says they like him. You go to Washington and transferring from Montana State to Utah State does not necessarily mean everyone who's at Utah State gets to transfer to Washington. You have a different group of kids. Like...
Yeah, but Osibor is the conference player of the year.
And
that
maybe
Osibor
goes, Osibor goes. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't expect him at Utah State next year.
And every team needs a false left. That guy could go wherever.
But there's usually at least one or two NBA players on every Washington roster, even when they're horrendous. They usually have a couple of guys because there are so many players in the city of Seattle that are NBA future guys. So I will be curious what type of talent he can get up there.
All right, stay tuned. Top three stories coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. I'm going to write a book about that period of my life. I think I could really come up with some entertaining stuff.
You should.
I can't write. I'm not
The waves.
It would be like a 3,000.
Jake Scott's autobiography on being on the radio in Utah for 20 plus years.
It'd be like a 3,000 word book, not because I'm that interesting, but because I'm that wordy.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't tell a story inside of like 75 pages.
That's fine. That's how you write books. Put in more
words,
not fewer.
Books that people will read.
Yeah. You've read Hemingway. He's wordy.
Yeah, but somehow his books are still only 150 pages long.
Faulkner's wordy. Also short books.
Oh, I know that Faulkner's brilliant. I got it. But is there any more of a slog than his writing? I'd rather read Tolstoy.
Read the first 60 pages of Sound of the Fury. It's fury. No sound. It's all fury. It's the most difficult
fury.
Stretch of reading I've ever done. And Joyce. Impossible. Anyways.
You want to know the best reading? I know, but the best
we're good,
reading.
Sarah, we got time.
If you're ever going to read Lord of the Rings, I got the tip. Just skip all the songs. All the songs, like half the book of songs. You can just skip them all. It doesn't like.
Sounds good to me.
Just power on through. Best advice I ever got is like, yeah, I could skip all of that.
I'm with you.
All right. Time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Brought to you by J. Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you. One on Winchester Street across from Fashion Place Mall. The other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the NCAA Tourney Sweet 16 begins tonight.
Let's see. Is it tonight? It's Friday.
Thursday?
We're back on Thursday. Sorry, Sarah. Let me pull up here.
Go Wolfpack.
First and
foremost. Excited about that. Thursday's games. So we can go through the Sweet 16. Here's Thursday. Clemson, Arizona, 6-seed Clemson, 2-seed Arizona, 5-seed San Diego State, 1-seed UConn. Man, San Diego State just bails the Mountain West right out of the fire every year, don't they? 4-seed Alabama, 1-seed North Carolina, and then the nightcap will be 3-seed Illinois, 2-seed Iowa State. Iowa State looks great, by the way.
Yes, they do. I did not have them going this far. We'll see if Illinois can take care of business. But how about that? Thursday, the lowest seed is a 6. I mean, this is not, obviously, if you're a 6, you're not going chalk, but that's mostly chalk.
I think the games on Friday are even better.
Okay. The lone double-digit seed remaining.
The early game will be NC State, the 11 seed, and 2-seed Marquette, which, man, I'm going to watch DJ Burns play basketball for as long as I possibly can.
I tell you what, though.
Love that dude.
We fell in love with Golkey, right, the kid from Oakland. This Collect kid from Marquette, who's going to be a borderline first-round pick, he is a basketball player. That kid can get it done.
I think 5-seed Gonzaga, 1-seed Purdue is going to be awesome. 4-seed Duke, 1-seed Houston. Duke just smashed James Madison. I mean, that should be a really good game. And then the nightcap is 3-seed Creighton and 2-seed Tennessee.
Great games. That's you and me in the title game. That's our title game right there, Friday night.
That's going to decide it.
I'm excited for Duke-Houston. You're right, Gonzaga-Purdue. I don't know if Zags have the size to go up against Zach Eadie.
Gonzaga looked great.
Yes, they did.
In the first two rounds. They looked great. And can you believe it? How many? Oh, now I'm forgetting. It's like 12 years in a row in the Sweet 16 or something crazy for few. I should look that up.
It's 8 straight years, something like that. Oh, they haven't. Yeah.
Might even be more. That's wild.
But you know what I'm seeing? And I know this is cliche, but it's like, man, these are all old teams.
Yeah, that's a trend in that's proven out this tournament is that with the transfer portal, if you can be an old, experienced team, that makes a big difference.
Like, UConn has a one-and-done kid. I'm looking at this. You know, I love the draft. There are not, like, loaded one-and-done top 10 players here. There's sophomores at UConn, but, like, yeah, this is not go get the top recruit and expect to win right away. You don't. You can't win that way in college anymore, especially with the transfer portal.
That Friday is going to be something.
Great. Great
way
games.
Better than Thursday.
It's been a good tournament. I've enjoyed it so far.
So far. All right, what's next?
Number two, the Jazz losing streak continues.
This team's not fun.
No.
They're not having fun. Nobody's. And look, you can have fun and lose. You can have fun and be young. The players don't seem like they're having fun. I don't know if the coaching staff is having fun. I know the fan base isn't having fun because I see it all over my timeline.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody in any given circumstance would be having fun with this, honestly. I get what you're saying.
Like the San Antonio Spurs are having a ton of fun. Like, you can them. That you watch
see,
them.
See, I don't know if you're watching them
we'll see them Wednesday night, though. We'll see
them
Wednesday night. Watch them. They're running the floor. The players are up and celebrating. Everyone's excited. Watch some of these young, bad teams. They're having more fun than the Jazz are.
The Jazz are trying to lose.
And that
signal was sent loud and clear. I don't think there's anything fun about that.
And the difference is, at one point, the Jazz were 26 and 26.
We're trying to win.
And are now the worst team in the NBA. They have been basically the worst team in the league since the trade deadline. I think only the Wizards have fewer wins. So they went from having at least some understanding of fun because they were winning every other game to they can't do anything. It's only young players playing. The veterans don't matter a whole lot. And I think that has really, really sucked the energy out of the roster.
Well, if I'm Will Hardy and Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck, you know, that brain trust, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I can't cut all of you, but I'd like to cut most of you because at least show some heart. And I don't want to be overly critical because they've been handed a crappy situation where the franchise doesn't have their back. They're not trying to win. It stinks. But to just surrender defensively every night.
Every night. It's crazy.
Just, I mean, they're the worst defense in the league by a mile. 27 three-pointers made by Houston is a high in the NBA
and
this
again,
season.
That comes on the heels of the Mavericks
where they
having
surrendered
18
the dunks.
It's just like, just yeah, take what you want.
Like,
yeah, that, it's awful.
That I think is the frustrating point. I don't know how much you want to put that on the coaches. I mean, because again, they've been handed this. The franchise sent the signal and said, we're done trying to win. And I don't even think that was the bad move from the franchise. I mean, it's just difficult decisions have to be made. But, Ben, I mean, the lame duck is a saying for a reason. I mean, it's just going through the motions to get this thing done, and you're not even trying to win.
I think they made the right choice. I do. I think they made the right choice trading Kelly Olynyk and Simone Fontecchio, and I still think there's work you have to do after that to try and keep the roster together. And I think they've let go of the rope too much. I think they lost it. Now, again, you hope it doesn't become toxic, and this kind of paints the way all these young players view of like what the NBA is supposed to be like, and that games don't matter that much, because next year I think you want these games to start mattering again. You hope that hasn't leaked in and infiltrated the team, but the whole team could be different next year.
Well, listen, I know everybody's in love with Keontae George, but if I'm making the evaluation on how good he can be as an NBA player, this would be not his best time.
His legs
are
gone.
If this is about...
Bryce Sensabaugh's legs are gone.
I got it, but you got to show some heart and get out there and guard. You can't be surrendering NBA records every night.
Yep.
If it is like, hey, if they've handed him the ball, which, I mean, you've talked about it. They've essentially done it.
They
and
did.
Said,
yep.
Let's see what you got. Well, some nice shooting nights, some nice numbers, but you can't let your team... And not that he has to go out there and all of a sudden turn into Gary Payton, but this is part of having the ball.
Absolutely.
Is that your team can't be, you don't have to be the best defensive team in the league, but you can't get humiliated every night. Like, that can't be a thing. You got to go out there and pour it on. And if that's fun, okay. Like if that's the missing element is you need to go have fun, if that makes you play better defense, then whatever. I don't know what it is, but I'd be eyeing this team very critically based on effort given. And again, that's not fair because they've told them to lose. Yep. So how much can you really, you know what I mean? Like,
and all their best players are sitting. If Lowry's not out, John Collins is out. Jordan Clarkson's been out for 10 games, it feels like. You know, it just doesn't, the veterans aren't even out there to win, and they traded away two of their other veterans. Again, I think that was the right call, but man, it's just been ugly, and it's going to get ugly tonight when you play against Luka Doncic once again.
Can you imagine if Nate came in here and told us to like do bad shows, and then when we did bad shows, then he'd be like, hey, why do you guys suck so much?
Come on.
Be like, well, you told us to be bad.
You said it would help us.
Well, I didn't think you'd be this bad. Wait, what?
Well, 11 games left. We'll see what they look like.
So I don't, like, all this criticism isn't fair. But it is a thing. I mean, like, I can't believe they're this bad defensively. It's really.
I agree with you.
It's, all right, what's next?
Number 3, Utah women's hoops advances.
They beat South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits? 68-54 over the weekend. Alyssa Peely, 11 of 20 from the floor, 26 points, 7 rebounds. So a nice start there, and now they have to play Gonzaga in what is essentially a home game tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah, excited for that. 8:30 ESPN2. Gonzaga is basically a pick'em favorite, 1.5 points.
Well, is Peely good? It's going to come down to that.
Well, she is.
Is she on? Yeah. I mean, is she good tonight? Which she's good most nights. So that's why Utah's a good team.
Excited to see it. Yeah, and if you advance here, go to the Sweet 16, play again next weekend, be very exciting. That's where they got to last year.
Yeah. Been trying to prop up Utah and the NIT at the beginning of the show. Hey, let's lead with this.
Yeah, we'll see if they cook.
All right. Stay tuned. More next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give
Jake and Ben. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. The 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Man, I've always liked Kalani. So he's been good to me.
I mean, he knows you by name.
He does.
First and last. First and first.
I've told you the story. I accidentally texted him, I love you, right? Have I not told you that
you
story?
You have not. I have Kalani's number.
I was producing in the afternoons, and he was coming on with us weekly when he was the defensive coordinator at Utah.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to text my now wife, then girlfriend, and I one of those I sent it to the wrong person.
Because their names aren't even close to
like,
similar.
It's
not like they were the same letter.
He was earlier in my chain or something. I don't know. Yeah. It was a bozo move. I said, I love you.
It'd be funny if that was the first time you told your girlfriend you loved her.
No. And he texts back, I don't think this was meant for me, but thanks, or something like that.
It was meant for you, Coach. Well, I've told you, my father's name is Gary, and I've got two numbers in my phone for Gary Anderson, and you got to be a little bit careful about that.
Oh, yeah, that is. You do have to be careful.
So, one of them's an E-N, one of them's an O-N. But
about that. Want to remind you about, I've got a question for you about PR, Ben. You and I like to talk off the air all the time about people's public relations.
Oh, I thought you were talking about personal records.
Malfeasance.
We weightlift them?
But we do want to remind you about Win Ticket Wednesday. Your chance to win big every week on the Zone. This Wednesday, you can pick up a pair of tickets to go see A Day to Remember at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on July 21st. So listen all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Did you catch Kim Mulkey's press conference over the weekend?
I didn't do anything. Don't trust the WAPO.
The women's basketball coach at LSU, who, yeah, went on this long screed hammering on apparently a story that's in the works at the Washington Post.
It's going to break in the next couple of days.
I mean, she just did 2.5 minutes of yelling fake news, which is fine. But I was thinking about this from a PR standpoint. Now I just want to read the story.
Absolutely.
Now her doing that brought so much attention onto a story that hasn't even been written. Now I can't wait to read it. Isn't that a bad PR move? Let's say it is just a hatchet job full of fake news and libel. You basically just ensured that everybody on the planet's going to read it.
Well, here, look at what's trending on Twitter. What's the third thing trending on the right side there?
Kim Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey. Like, yeah, she made this worse. She added much fuel to this fire.
Let the story come out and then call it fake news. Don't do it before.
Maybe it's bad enough that she knows it's going to cost her job. And or whatever it's going to be that she doesn't feel like there's any reason not to just go after it now, because once it comes out, it's going to look so horrible for her that she's not going to be able to defend herself. So she might as well try and get out in front of it. But that's not even what she's doing. She's not being like, hey, I made some mistakes. This is what's going to come out. She's saying it's all wrong. And now everyone wants to disprove her because people don't like Kim Mulkey.
I love her fashion sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, she's not she doesn't have a real likable personality.
No.
But she's one of those kind of coaches that win, so you have to put up with it.
She's a winner.
But now I'm just dying to read that story. That was the best thing that ever happened to the Washington Post.
Yep, they're excited for it.
And you know what I don't get about this sort of thing from a PR standpoint, too? If really you knew that they were just completely inventing a hit piece on you, I would be like, this, I won't say anything about it even when it comes out, but this is my attorney. His name's Ben. He's going to be combing over every darn comma in that story,
yep.
And I'm going to
sue
the pants off you.
Yep.
If indeed they're just making up a story,
yep.
Right? All right. Anyway, bad PR. Now everybody's just dying to read the story.
I'm cooking for it too. I'm excited.
But you know what? Even that move is such an egomaniac thing to do, because the truth is no college basketball coach is big enough to dominate the news for more than a day.
Right.
Let alone like a women's college coach, which women's basketball is less popular than the men.
Sure.
Even though I think their tournament is a terrific product and absolutely consumed it over the weekend. But she thinks that this news, whatever it is going to be the biggest news in the country forever, whereas the smart thing to do is just keep your head down, call it fake news when it comes out and say, I got to move on to coach basketball. And then they're going to win in the Elite Eight, and then everybody's going to forget about it.
Yep.
Unless it's something truly horrible.
We'll see. But, yeah, we're all excited to find out.
But, I mean, how many college coaches? I brought Bob Huggins up
right
in the last segment. What do you bet me he gets another job?
His might be hard.
I actually can tell you an athletic director that would hire him today. I'm not going to use the name on the air, but I could tell you. I'll tell you the person's name off the air. Which is terrible, right? But
yeah,
that's
absolutely
my point. Is you could keep your head down, you could survive anything. Yeah. Bruce Pearl is still coaching today. He just lost in the first round.
Isn't there a rumor that Will Wade might hire him? Bob Huggins
to come. Will Wade?
Yeah.
Well, Will Wade's a coach.
Right. He's going to hire Bob Huggins.
Oh, on his
to
staff?
To be an assistant, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, the funny thing is, you remember the sorry, Sarah, I know we're late. We've got Coach Lacombe coming up next, so I'll keep this short. But Dave Bliss, the head coach at Baylor that covered up a murder, mm-hmm. Well, he was dimed out by his assistant coach. Dave Bliss got another job. Guess who didn't get another job? The assistant coach.
The rat.
Who broke the code.
Yep.
Horrible.
Yep.
But all Kim has to do is just ignore it, and somebody's going to hire you. You win national championships.
Right. Rick Pitino keeps getting hired. Juwan Howard will probably get another job.
Old Italian restaurant Pitino?
Just for a minute.
Romantic. Some romance guy. There were candles probably somewhere. This lasagna, I tell you. Coach comes next. Stay tuned. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our next guest is brought to you, as always, by Spherion Staffing. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing do it for you. Visit them online at spherion.com/Utah. That's spherion.com, SPHERION.com/Utah. He is my co-host for Jazz Pre, Half, and Post. Longtime college coach as well. He's our good friend Tim Lacombe. What's going on, Tim?
First time listener, long time caller. Great to be on.
Sarah finally let you through.
Yeah, Sarah, I've been trying every week. Bonus points to either of you if you know the name of the artist who produced the song that we were brought into.
Oh, I have no idea.
Who was it?
Bon Jovi.
Oh, well, yeah.
The Runaway.
That guy.
1984.
He produced it, or
well, I mean, you know.
Oh, okay. I was scrambling to think of famous producers. Who's that guy who made Michael Jackson famous?
Oh, Quincy I'm
Jones.
Sorry. I meant
Quincy Jones.
Yeah. I meant sang it, brought it to the world.
I was like, who produced it? That's deep.
Real deep cut.
That's deep.
Sorry. Yeah, it's Monday. I'm just getting my tongue straight here so I can speak for the week.
So coming up on Friday, it's basically going to be a showdown between me and you and Ben, when 2-seed Creighton takes on, or 2-seed Tennessee takes on 3-seed Creighton. You and Ben have Creighton going. I've got Tennessee winning. Ben's got UConn, but he's got Creighton in the finals. So it's a little competition between us three.
Yeah, and we dodged a bullet. I was fully expecting a text from Ben down the stretch saying, hey, thanks a lot for the Creighton advice. But, you know, our guy Stephen Ashworth, the local Utah guy, made a couple big shots, and Creighton found themselves. But they are right there on the verge. I do like that. Typically, a team that goes a long way is tested pretty seriously and finds their way through. So that could bode well for my pick. But the rest of my bracket is completely thrashed.
It's interesting to look at who is winning right now in the tournament, because I can pull up the top 10 picks in the latest mock draft from ESPN. Rob Dillingham, the guard from Kentucky, and Reed Shepard are both projected in the top 7. They were awful in their first game. I mean, as bad as they've played all season together and got eliminated. Cody Williams is projected to the Jazz right now. I know a lot of Jazz fans would like that, the kid from Colorado, but they also just got ousted, even though he played okay. There are just not these one-and-done kids dominating college basketball, and they're not winning at the highest level. It is a lot of these Tyler Colex, Zach Edey. It's a lot of these older kids and these older teams that are getting back to winning. And you know what? I think it's made the product better. These are really good, fun games to watch because you've got upperclassmen who know how to play the game.
Yeah, I was telling David the other night, David Locke, you know, just watching college exclusively for so long and not seeing much of the NBA, only in pieces when I could, and then shift to where I'm watching the NBA like 3 or 4 times a week with my good friend Jake. You know, going back to watch the college game, I do believe the college game has gotten better, and I do think it's probably experience. Guys understanding spacing, understanding time and score, understanding what a good shot is. I mean, teams still and players still get caught up in the moment, but there's no doubt, like, watching these games has been, you know, shooting isn't always – that's always the one thing that kind of comes and goes, but I agree with you, Ben. I think they're better games to watch.
Good for Utah State for winning a game. You and I both thought that they would be competitive against Purdue. That turned out to be incorrect. And now today, they're looking for a new coach. As Ryan Odom's on his way to Washington. So your thoughts on the Aggies' performance, or what did I say? Danny Sprinkle is what I meant. Ryan Odom. Well, they're playing Utah, so I've got Ryan Odom on the
brain. He's on the brain.
But Danny Sprinkle's leaving for Washington. So thoughts on Utah State's performance and now looking for a new coach?
Well, they had a magical year, and, you know, it's always hard to lose, but it's always really hard to get just completely get the doors blown off. It was one of those games where, I mean, I watch games all day long, and the officiating is so vastly different game to game. Like, I watched the Colorado-Marquette game, and they might as well have handed out boxing gloves because it was just a fist fight. And like 3 minutes to go in the second half, and Colorado had to foul 3 times to get to the bonus. You know, it was – and then I turned on the Utah State game. I mean, the very first play, Utah State gets a what looks to be a jump ball, but the officials call a foul, and it kind of just set that game into a foul spin for Utah State, and they had – all their big guys had fouls, you know, and it's just when you're trying to guard that big dude and you can't breathe on him, it's tough. So first of all, like, season was great. Yesterday was brutal. Today's even more brutal, you know, for Utah State fans because they're, you know, they enjoyed the year, but it was almost like it was an Airbnb, you know, that you had 9 months in and now you got to pack your bags and get out and go find something else. And so, what I have heard on the ground is a couple of things. I think they're going to move pretty quickly. You know, I think this deal with Sprinkle's been in motion for, you know, a couple of weeks. I've heard it, but I didn't, you know, I didn't want to put a cast anything disparaging on their run, but it was definitely out there that it was pretty much done. I think most importantly now they got to get somebody in place so they don't end up in the same situation as last year.
Can we talk some Jazz basketball? Are we okay moving on from college?
For sure.
This has been really hard to watch. And
I was going to say, do we have to?
I mean, I don't think the players are having fun. I don't hear any fun in Will Hardy's voice when he's talking. And look, you're losing. You're not supposed to be having fun. But this is beyond... hey, we're trying to get to the end of the season, and we get that there's draft pick involved, and that's all part of it. This feels harder than that. Do you get that feeling that this is maybe worse than it had to be?
I don't know necessarily, you know, I don't know the inner workings, but I do know it's been hard, and I think it's been hard for everybody. Just the last couple of games particularly, you know, Jake and I are in there trying to, you know, pick up anything we can, any kind of nuance that we see. But obviously, it's hard. I mean, five in a row now the Jazz have lost, you know, and I looked at the schedule today going forward, and I just, you know, there's not a lot of wins on it to me. I think, obviously, San Antonio comes in here Wednesday night. The Rockets come in Friday. But beyond that, you know, it's going to be tough. So I think it's just everybody's got to stay the course. I think at this point, I think decisions have been made. And so, like, we've got 11 games left, and it is what it is. But hopefully, you know, the time has been well, has been good for the young guys, because I think that that above all else is probably the, you know, the one piece that has some promise, because there's certainly a lot of time attached to these guys, you know, in the organization.
Speaking of the Rockets, do you think they catch the Warriors for that last play-in spot?
You know what? It sounds as though, like, I heard Steve Kerr's comments over the weekend and, you know, castigating not necessarily individual players, but the team generally for, you know, just lack of awareness, hustle, stuff like that. I think the Rockets are certainly playing better basketball at this point. And I think that, you know, what we saw the other night, I mean, really, if Şengün could make it back, and I don't know if he will, but like Jalen Green's on a heater right now. He's playing the best I've ever seen him play. And I love Van Vliet, and I love his competitiveness. You could feel it in that game the other night. I think they do catch him, honestly. They've won eight in a row, and the Warriors have lost a couple in a row, and they're not playing great basketball. So that would be my pick at this point. But again, you look at my bracket first before you make any major decisions.
I mean, it's something though. Like, I think 9 of Golden State's next 10 games or 8 of their next 9 are on the road. Like, it's just crazy what they have to do. I tweeted this out yesterday. I looked at the rest of the Jazz schedule. There's a real chance Wednesday is their last chance to get a victory. Every other team they're playing is fighting for the 8th seed, the 10th seed to make the play-in, or to avoid the 6th seed, or to get home court advantage in the first round. It's just like, it is crazy. The Jazz just never felt like they got an easy stretch of schedule, other than maybe when they played all those good teams that were missing players. But it's just been really difficult for the Jazz. So what can you take from a team? I know you talked about the young players a little bit, but if you lose 10 of the next 11, or maybe 11 of the next 11, and you've already lost 3 of your last 19, or 16 of your last 19, like, how does that trail into the offseason, and can you wash that off before next year?
I think you can. I mean, it's never been, you know, a part of the organization here, you know, but I think you can. I think everybody is well aware of the situation the Jazz are in. And I think when the trade deadline came and went and the moves that were made, you know, I think it really did kind of designate what the rest of the year was going to be like. So, like anything, you know, one day I remember I was a young missionary in Boston, Massachusetts. I was sitting at a train station early one morning, and I'd always try to check any kind of newspaper that was hanging around just to see what was going on in the world. You know, the Boston Globe oftentimes would, a remnant copy would be sitting there. And I remember this particular day was really windy, and just out of a movie, right down the track came this newspaper in about 700 pieces, you know, and it just kind of blew by. I sat there and it just blew by. And I thought, man, that's a great example of how everything in our life, you know, everything seems messy and out of place. But if you give it time, you know, it blows down the tracks and it's out of your sight and out of your mind. And I think that that's probably what this will be.
So if I were to ask you to put odds on it, or however you want to measure it, what's your confidence level in Denver being the best team in the West, or coming out of the West, I should say?
Oh, man, I'm like, if I had 10, you know, 10 shekels, I'd probably put 9 of the 10 on that. Because I think when you look at it, who they're battling, certainly the Thunder are exciting, but they're young. And you know the history of this league, typically you got to kind of get your way. through and into the playoffs and work your way through. So I'd be surprised there. The T-Wolves, they stand out a little bit, and I know people are quick to dismiss them because all people will just do what they did to Rudy in the playoffs, but I think you have to look at his running mates. You know, when you're talking about a guy like McDaniels or Anthony Edwards plays with such force, I think it's just a different combination. I do believe that they've got a good shot, but I'm not ready to crown them anything yet till they do it. And then the Clippers, obviously pretty young, pretty old and a lot of experience. So with the right matchups, you know, possibly. But again, I just think that the entire West is trying to do what the Nuggets are doing. And I just think they're going to – I think at the end of the day, they're going to do it again.
I have a bit of a running joke with a mutual friend of ours, and I tell her every time I see her, I think the Milwaukee Bucks have figured it out, and then they will lose by 35 points to the Golden State Warriors on the road. And then I say, okay, no, they're never going to figure it out. It just doesn't feel right. And then they will just blast the Oklahoma City Thunder, 118-93. I mean, just blast them and look like, oh, yeah, Giannis is the second best player in the NBA. Dame can still do Dame things. They actually have pretty good veteran depth. They're talented, and when Chris Middleton's out there, they're a completely different team. So if we're going back to your 10 shekels and everyone expecting the Boston Celtics, how many would you put on Milwaukee to get out of the East?
Zero.
No faith.
No faith. Mm-mm. I just, you know, again, you said all the right things, and I mean, that made me, but at the end of the day, they just don't guard. They just don't guard good enough. And, you know, and what the Celtics could do to them in a series, spacing them out, spreading them out, attacking them, I just don't think it can happen. I mean, if somebody were to knock off the Celtics, but even then, you know, I just think I would probably put my shekels on the Knicks, to be honest with you. You know, any kind of spare ones, majority on the Celtics, but I'd probably take a flyer on the Knicks if I'm taking a flyer on anybody.
Coach, you are the best. Thank you for coming on, and I will see you tonight, buddy.
Yeah, excited to see you tonight.
Oh, I can't wait to see you guys, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
As long as Ben doesn't take shots in the media room, that always hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's
our
just
feelings.
It's cold out. We'll see what you guys wear.
Hey, dress at your own peril, right?
Thank you, Tim.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
That's our good friend Tim Lacombe. His appearance on the show is brought to you by Spherion Staffing. I don't think the Damian Lillard was a good move for Milwaukee. I didn't believe in the Bucks after that move. He's not what they were lacking.
I did believe in the move because Dame was coming off arguably, I mean, his best statistical season last year. Now, they were a terrible basketball team in Portland, but he was still playing as the closest thing to Steph Curry. We've seen the not-named Steph Curry, and I thought, well, you know, 90% of Steph or 85% of Steph next to Giannis Antetokounmpo is a pretty darn dangerous combo, and I still think they're very dangerous, and I still think they're going to make the conference finals, but they could lose to Boston in four.
See, Steph's never been on a team where he wasn't the one you didn't, well, wasn't the number one shooting option.
Right.
Dame was never going to be the number one shooting option on the Bucks.
Sure. He still is a lot of games where he's taken 14 shots where he's used to taking 20 to 25.
Every shot he takes is a shot that Giannis isn't taking. And yeah, he's taking a haircut. Because of course he's going to take a haircut. Yep. He's not the number one option on the team. I mean, Milwaukee was not missing a number one option. That's not why they didn't win the title. Depth was their issue.
They really are a bad half-court offensive team and have been for a while because as good as Giannis is, it's weird to just give him the ball sometimes and be like, yeah, just go ISO because doesn't work that well for them. And Drew wasn't that good at that, which is why they traded Drew. The hard thing for them was that Drew bounced off of Portland and ended up with their number one rival, yeah. The best equipped player to defend Dame in the entire league.
But Drew was willing to guard. You know what they needed?
Absolutely,
they
yeah.
needed another Chris Middleton.
Yeah, they did.
He's actually the perfect piece for them when he plays, but he's so not reliable over the past two or three years. They needed another one of that guy.
Yep.
They needed a you know, a guy who's going to knock down open shots. Because how do you stop Giannis? Well, you guard him with four players.
Yeah. And again, Dame makes sense in that. You can't leave Dame. Dame will kill you if you leave him.
Except for he's not a spot-up shooter. He's dribbling into shots. He's not that.
We will see.
And he's not going to put up with that, by the way. He's not going to play Chris Middleton's role. That's not what makes him good.
I'll be really curious what they look like in the playoffs. I'm very excited for the playoffs to come. I'm ready for the regular season to be over, even though these are great regular season games because so many teams are fighting for things. But playoffs are going
to
be fun.
In hindsight, Damian should have gone to the Lakers. And here's like 2 years ago, not this year.
Yeah.
But he should have gone to the Lakers because he needs to play with a player who just wants to take turns with possessions. And LeBron, at this point in his career, just wants to take possessions off.
Yeah.
That's why you see Anthony Davis dominates first halves. Did I say that right? First halves?
First half.
Because LeBron doesn't have any interest in playing in the first half.
Yeah.
And then the second half, Anthony Davis disappears because LeBron's like, all right, well, let's Papa's going to bring us home. You know, Dame needed to play with, even somebody like the Suns where Kevin Durant's interested in taking possessions off. That's not Giannis.
No. And I don't even know if he would have worked in Miami, to be honest with you.
I don't think that would have worked either.
That team is so egalitarian.
Yeah, and then Damian Lillard is not special when he's only taken 14 shots.
Right. One of his skills, I think you're right, is that he can be an offense unto his own.
Yeah, and that's not what Milwaukee needed.
Yeah. It's the Trae Young blessing and the curse.
Right. Well, it's why Dame's never going to win a title unless he does it in a bench role when he's 38.
Yeah.
Because he's not good enough to win a title playing like that. But that's what makes him special. It's why the people were wrong when they said, oh, they'll make Jimmer into an NBA point guard. No, because that's not what made Jimmer special.
Yeah. And Dame just might be too expensive ever to be a 38-year-old coming off the bench.
Correct.
That's the real curse of it. It's the real white elephant of Dame Lillard.
Yeah, because this contract doesn't end until he's 40, right?
You'd love to have him, and he's so expensive to take care of, you can't win with anything around him.
I never
It's this year or next for Milwaukee, and it really might just be this year.
I never liked that move for them. And they're further away after making it.
Yeah. I mean, they got eliminated in the first round last year, but that was a little bit fluky. Jimmy Butler going crazy, and they got rattled.
And then they overreacted.
Yeah, they probably did.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll have more next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. More next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you about America First Credit Union. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Ben, I wouldn't call myself a Jim Harbaugh fan. I think he's kind of a psycho, and we don't need to dwell on this necessarily, but I do think he is funny.
I love Jim Harbaugh. He's great for the game.
I think he is funny. Do you remember? He's still throwing around the born on third base crack that he you remember when he said that about Ryan Smith, Ryan Day, the head coach at, not Ryan Smith.
Wow, who was not
bad
born
with,
on third base.
I'm bad
I guess
today.
Compared all of us born in Utah, healthy. maybe technically we're all on third base, but not the way he's talking about it.
So Jim Harbaugh, who's now the head coach of the Chargers, had this quote over the weekend. Quote, everyone in that building, no one was born on third base. Everyone had to work their way to first, unquote. Still taking shots at Ryan Day.
Was Jim Harbaugh's dad a very famous coach?
Which makes it ironic, yes. He's a Nepo baby himself.
He's the most Nepo of babies. And good for him. He turned into a quarterback and played and made the NFL. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. You know, that doesn't mean you don't work hard. But
he actually, too, if he were to have an argument to ditch the Nepo baby thing, you point out his playing career. But he also started coaching at San Diego.
Yeah.
Not San Diego State. But
right.
The Toreros
yeah.
of San Diego. And then he made Stanford into a thing. So I'd say like, what's his name? The head coach of the Niners is way more of a Nepo baby than Jim Harbaugh.
No, he's had the Midas touch. Where he goes, they win. Even Michigan, when it looked like, oh man, they got to move on from this dude. The next two years they took off and then they won a title.
Yeah, because he's a psycho.
He's a psycho.
But see, he wears thin. That's why he'll be with the Chargers for like 3 years and then he'll be gone. Michigan is the example of he stayed and won the long term because they couldn't fire him. You can't fire
until
a Michigan legend.
The NCAA legend. Yeah. allegations caught up to
right.
him.
Then they could fire him for that, but they couldn't fire him 2 years ago because he's all.
And they just fired Juwan Howard. He's a legend too, right?
But he didn't have near the resume Jim Harbaugh does. Has proven he can coach. Juwan Howard has not.
Also, apparently abusive to coaches and players, allegedly.
You mean the guy that punched the assistant coach for Wisconsin was abusive behind the scenes?
Apparently, he was slapping his son around. Jet Howard, who got drafted in the lottery, he's like hitting him in practice. That's the rumor that's coming out from another assistant coach. But
no, I don't.
My
think
goodness.
Comparing Juwan to Jim is really all
it's
that fair.
Yeah.
Because Jim's resume is way better than Juwan Howard's resume.
Juwan made an Elite Eight with other guys, another team's players, and his son.
He got hired because he is a Michigan legend. Jim Harbaugh, if he took Michigan as like his first job, but dude, if Stanford, do you remember how bad Stanford was for a long time?
I remember how
Jim
bad
Harbaugh
they are now.
Yeah, they're terrible
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he was there and they were good. And Shaw kind of rode, I don't want to say rode those coattails
he
for
did,
a while,
though.
But he kind of landed the plane, and the plane never took off again.
Again, San Diego is where he started. But I do find it hilarious that he's still taking shots at Ryan Day. He must really, like, personally not like him.
You know what? Herb still takes shots at BYU. Herb's in town, right? This weekend? Wasn't he here for a coaching clinic?
He was.
Like,
I didn't watch any of the clips. Did he take a shot at
BYU? I don't know,
BYU?
But he has in the last couple of years. I mean, he'll go on Big Nude Saturday or whatever they call it on Fox.
I don't think
they'll take shots at the team down south.
I don't think Urban actually disliked Gary Croton, though.
Sure. Oh, no, he knew how to make an edge.
I think Jim Harbaugh actually dislikes Ryan Day.
Okay, I believe that.
Like, Kyle Whittingham actually disliked Bronco Mendenhall.
And vice versa.
Vice versa.
Those two should move into a house together. Do a reality show. Just get Whit and Bronco to figure it out.
I remember when Larry Kraskowiak, you find out that he actually disliked BYU when he canceled that,
yeah,
the series or whatever. And remember, Dave Rose was surprised.
Yeah,
Dave was like, I kind of like Larry.
Did Larry pay like $100,000?
Yeah, to get them out of the game, he did that personally. I forgot about that. Yeah, he
never
put
do that
bill personally.
They will fire you still, Larry.
Oh, I forgot about that. Now that's real dislike right there.
Yeah, that's something.
That's real dislike right there. But yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh actually dislikes Ryan Day, which I think is funny. You think he'll win with the Chargers? Or will the Chargers? See, now here is a great experiment, because we both think Jim Harbaugh knows what he's doing when it comes to coaching.
He won with the 49ers.
But the Chargers have terrible ownership. So here's going to be the concept. Can a good coach bail out terrible ownership? It doesn't happen very often.
Andy Reid's doing it right now with Kansas City.
You'd say the Kansas City has bad ownership?
I think they're like are consistently rated as the worst ownership in all of football. In
really?
All honesty. Yeah,
I've
like,
never thought of them as having bad ownership.
Neither have I, but it's because they're so small market and because their owner isn't like a blatant slumlord or racist, which is usually when you hear about bad owners of like it's their outside lives that bring them in, not necessarily even what they do with their teams. Like Dolan's a terrible owner. Dolan's actually a bad owner with the Knicks, but like generally when you hear about bad owners, it's like, well, they're bad people who have made their money doing bad things, that doesn't even necessarily mean they're bad at owning their franchises.
Oh, see,
there are examples
I'm not,
of it.
Like,
but no,
I don't know about Kansas City, but I'm not thinking about bad behavior. Jim Dolan, take out his bad behavior, is terrible at owning a basketball team.
Right, he is.
Take out Dan Snyder's behavior, he was terrible at owning a football team. Like, I don't approve Jerry Jones's behavior.
Clark Hunt graded out as the lowest ranking owner in the NFL Players Association survey.
Interesting.
So that's like the players. That's not, hey, fans hate him. That's like the players are like, this guy's
But
awful.
The Spanoses are terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Right down to they should be playing in Vegas and the Raiders should be in L.A. It makes no sense that the Chargers are in L.A. instead of the Raiders. And by the way, that was the bad move because nobody cares about him in L.A. They'd be a juggernaut in Vegas, and the Raiders already own L.A. It made just too much sense. But the Spanoses have to be like, nope, we're going to L.A.
I don't totally understand what's going on in San Diego, other than I know they have bad ownership. But you have the quarterback, right? Like, you have a guy who's good enough, I think, to win. And they're, like, trading away Keenan Allen, right? Like, they're...
Well, they are selling. Now. Well, because Harbaugh's rebuilding.
He is. He's trying to get picks and et cetera, et cetera.
So they're doing that. They're doing that now, and they're cleaning up the books by chasing off Bosa, right, and all that. But they've had that before, though. Ben Ryan Leaf, or not Ryan Leaf? God, they did draft Ryan Leaf. Way to go! Who am I thinking of? The guy with 15 kids,
55 kids.
God, from NC State.
I know
for
who
crying
you're talking
out
about.
Loud.
Yes, we all know who you're talking about. Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers was good enough to win a Super Bowl. He was a really good quarterback.
Yeah, he was a top 10 quarterback basically every time he stepped on the field his whole career, if not better.
And they sucked.
Yeah.
They had LaDainian Tomlinson.
The best running back of the last 25 years. Yeah.
And they somehow managed to suck. That's top-down stuff. Go ask Eric Weddle how he feels about the Spanoses.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't think positively. I don't want to speak for him, but I don't think real great. So can a good owner, like, can you think of who was coaching for the Suns when they made the finals under Sarver? Monty Williams?
Yeah.
And I think he's a pretty good coach. So coaching kind of outdid bad ownership. Can you think of, so Andy Reid is an example. I had no idea, but apparently it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Bad owners where good coaches have saved them.
Maybe most recently with the Lions, because the drunken wing of the Ford family is not proven out to be a very good ownership group.
No, you got to be all in line. You've got to have pretty good to above average ownership, front office, and coaching.
And to salvage maybe a Jazz conversation out of this is we're going to find out what kind of owner Ryan Smith is, and I think he's more than capable, so I'm not trying to make any waves necessarily, but he's a new owner and he's inheriting a rebuilding situation. Like we're finding out what kind of owner Tillman Fertitta is in Houston.
And it's so fun. Yeah.
Because you buy a team like Phoenix with Devin Booker and then say, make Kevin Durant appear, you know, like, I don't know if you're proving what kind of owner you are one way or the other, honestly. But if you're going through a rebuild and you have to run the franchise, keep it successful while rebuilding and make the right decisions and all that stuff, I think we'll find out, you know, how good he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure he'd tell you he's up to the challenge, but we'll find out.
Well, we know he's up to the challenge. I mean, he is doing things the way I would assume billionaires do things, which is he is all in. He is... Not all in, I'm going to go spend all of our draft picks to get Kevin Durant and ruin the franchise, which is what Matt Ishbia did.
All in on doing it right.
Like, he fully believes in what the Jazz are doing, and he's doing it this way, and I don't think he's meddling in it in a bad way, and everyone I've talked to, I've never heard that he's meddling in a bad way. And I know there are frustrated fans with the team, and they look at the major change, they say, well, Ryan Smith bought the team, and that's what changed with the Jazz, so I'm going to point the finger at him with it.
That is not true.
I agree with you. I don't think that's true. I understand that that is how some fans feel, though. But this is a process that he believes in and the Jazz believe in. And you're right. The results will have to bear out before we can determine whether or not it was the right plan.
The
and
problem
that will determine
is,
whether you're a good owner or not.
The problem is James Dolan has said probably those exact same things, right? And he's been rebuilding since he bought the team 20 years ago.
Yeah. No, it's ownership is hard. Ownership
it is
really
hard.
And you know what?
It is hard. So 100% funny. Is hard.
The best owners are the ones who inherit a bunch of luck. Like, notoriously, the Nuggets had really bad ownership. Really bad ownership. Were cheap. Wouldn't spend a dime over. Always made cost-cutting moves. Well, you draft Jokic in the second round. You look like a great owner.
You look like a genius.
You look like a genius. Wouldn't spend a penny over the cap. Notoriously made all of these trades to get worse when they were kind of close.
That might be our answer. Phil Jackson.
Oh, yeah. That's the answer. Yes, absolutely.
With Reinsdorf.
Oh, and Ozzie Guillen. Like, Ozzie Guillen was a great baseball manager. Won a World Series for the worst owner in sports in the last decade because he not only has done it with one team, he's done it with two teams in a great sports city. Ruined the White Sox.
Doesn't he own the Blackhawks, too?
Does he own the Blackhawks also? No, they've won a bunch of titles.
I know they have. That's what I'm saying.
And ruined the Bulls.
I'm going to check.
That Jerry Reinsdorf. We need to run him out of town, Chicago. Opening day, Thursday. I think it's my White Sox year.
Do you?
No, they're going to lose like 100.
Okay, it's
games.
Not. No, he does
okay,
not.
Okay, yeah, that would be too consistent. That'd
Danny
too
Wirtz.
No, they're going to lose 110 games this year. This could be awful.
You're already coming in with that attitude, huh?
Oh, they're the worst team in baseball. It's horrendous.
Weren't they good like last year?
2 years ago, they went in as they had the second best odds to win the World Series.
What happened?
They hired Tony La Russa, who got a DUI the day he got hired.
Well, he was celebrating.
Driving to the event to announce he got hired.
Well,
77-year-old Tony La Russa got a DUI the day he got hired as the manager of the Chicago White Sox. And Reinsdorf said, I like this guy.
I like this guy.
I like the cut of his jib.
Man, just take a Lyft or an Uber, people. It's not that hard.
Don't hire 77-year-old Tony La Russa.
Who needs an eye-opener, apparently.
I mixed it with some pills.
That's a bad sign. All right, stay tuned. We'll wrap up the show next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben Show, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. 50 segments are brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Ben, real quick, on the way out the door, I have a thing for you, or a question for you, I guess. If you ever watch The Sopranos, Uncle Junior has a doctor who's just a terrible doctor, but his name's John Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
So Uncle Junior thinks he's getting great care, like he's the best doctor in the world.
Because of his name?
Because his name is John Kennedy. Did you know that the GM for the Denver Broncos' name is George Patton? Do you think that guy got that job just because of his name? Do you think that guy has gotten like more responsibility in life, like better jobs than he probably deserves ever because his name is George Patton?
The
Walling, what are their names? The Walmart people, the Wallingtons?
Waltons.
The Waltons.
Yeah.
You think the Waltons are like, oh, his name's George Patton. Hire that man.
Dwight Eisenhower?
Yeah, right. I bet you George Patton doesn't know anything about football.
Probably no relation.
He's the GM of the Broncos because his name is George Patton. Hey, we shouldn't hire this guy. He's got no experience. This other dude is way more experienced, years in front offices and everything. Yeah, but his name George Patton? He commands respect.
It's a pretty innocuous shared name to have. Again, there's the reporter whose name is Jerry Sandusky, right?
Oh, he's the voice of the Ravens.
Yeah, like yeah. That stinks. There's the athletic Timberwolves writer whose name is John Krasinski.
Not the
Office. No, different one.
Oh.
The Office. Jim from The Office is John Krasinski. Not
Ted Kaczynski. That's right.
That one would be tough. Yeah, there are worse ones to have. George Patton.
But
this funny one
works well for him, I bet.
I would bet you've read some books on Patton then, right? You at least saw the movie.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've read several books about Patton, yeah.
You at least have one giant American flag in your house that you stand in front of if your name's George Patton so you can talk to your kids.
hilarious. Every time I had to have a serious talk with my kids, I do it in front of a giant American flag. 100%.
Should see the movie. I know you have.
Now we don't cut school. Keep our head on straight. All right, stay tuned. Scotty G and Hans Olsen coming up next.
Thanks, Sarah.
97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.